Alrighty. G'day, viewers. Dane here from Clarkey's Rugby League column. Welcome back to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkey. This is our recap for round three. Beautiful round of footy. Winnie, how'd you like the footy this weekend?
Well, mate, on a positive note, as the comments already rolling through, fins up. Both our teams, in fact, won again. If you were to say before the season, how many weeks are we going to both come onto this show with the Dolphins and Titans having won? You wouldn't think it would have happened many times. It's already happened twice this year. And so I was really getting ready to really celebrate a great round of footy with you, but a sour note because we didn't make profit on our best bets. It all turned in four sickening minutes in that Bulldogs-Tigers game. And we start with our results, whether they're good or bad, only 1-1 on our best bets because of that result. And we lost the mixed matchup as well that was in winning position in the Bulldogs game this afternoon too. Close, no cigar, same game, multi, and kind of similar story with your try scorer, Alamotti, yeah. Couple of assists but no tries. But definitely some interesting action with a fair few upsets to discuss from round three.
Yeah, in terms of a betting recap, I suppose, with the better same game multi, I thought we were quite unlucky. Manu was millimetres from getting that ball down. And then the result was the margin that we were looking for as well. So that looked good until there. How did we go on the Top Sport mixed matchup? Any luck there?
So that also, we needed the Bulldogs to maintain that lead, which they did build in the second half and we were in front. But again, we'll talk about what transpired if we can. And if you guys know what on earth happened in those few minutes at Belmore this afternoon, let us know in the comments as well. I'm still kind of stunned from that, to be honest.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it, especially from the Tigers. No offense, Tigers fans. That was the best footy you guys have played in 10 years and it happened in a span of 4 minutes there, which was crazy. As we do go through the show, guys, of course, we are live. So send through some of those best bets you guys nailed over the weekend, or maybe some of those bad beats, unlucky ones that just missed out. We're going to go through and recap every single game this round and talk about our bets as we get to the games as well. We start with Thursday night. The Manly Seagulls defeated the Parramatta Eels 34-30. My MVP was Turbo Winnie. I think he's continuing to edge back to his best, and a special mention to Schuster as well, who had the three try assists in his first game this year. I thought he was awesome. But the Eels, they moved to 0-3. So I want to ask you off the top, do you think their season recovers? How did you see this game and where did the Eels go from here, do you think?
So let's start there with that question because I brought this up in our group. So I won't rehash kind of everything, but I think you can trace it all back to the Ryan Madison decision to allow him to take the fine, not play in the first three rounds of the season. Parramatta has lost three straight games by exactly 4 points. One try, one play in it. He's your fourth or fifth highest paid player. They're thin on in their back row. They've had some turnover. You don't know. Well, nobody can ever know would they have won any of those games if Madison was there, but you sure would want him to be there. And if you look at the numbers of it, a $4,000 fine, less than 1% of his season salary versus missing three games, over 10% of a full season. And you could argue Parramatta's season is almost done when you look ahead and understand that they play Penrith and the Roosters the next 2 weeks, both teams off a bye. But I said all that on Wednesday. So if anyone can explain like what went into that, I'd love to hear it because it was a diabolical decision and it's really hurt the Eels. In terms of this match, I mean, similar to their previous two, you can say they're unfortunate. It could have gone either way. It was certainly highly entertaining clash we got on Thursday night. I thought early, don't know about you, mate, but half hour in, I thought the Eels were going to get pumped. I thought they weren't ready for this one. I thought Manly just looked sharp and it was 12-0 and Manly was steamrolling them. Gutho's try kind of turned the game and then you could sense that Parramatta, not only they knew they were in it, they knew they had to have it. They did try and fight back in the second half, but ultimately Manly was a bit too much to handle. You know, Schuster, his debut in there, as you say, Tommy Turbo looks more like the Turbo of old, which means Manly looked great again. And then the killer blow in this game was after a Hodgson try did cut the score to, I think it was 28-26. Hopgood, who's had a great start to the year, one too many offloads. His offload is intercepted. Olakau'atu seals the deal. And, you know, actually, Eels did score again after that. And so that wasn't enough to get them back in the game, the late try, because they were down 8. Or no, they were down 10. Sorry, they were down 8. And I only bring that up because a sideline conversion from Moses decided whether or not you covered the line, which is 2.5. And that one went wide, unfortunate for Eels backers.
I will say for Ryan Madison, I haven't been too hard on him. That's because I've heard he runs a non-for-profit charity and puts a lot of his salary into that. And you know, I can kind of respect where he was coming from at first, where, you know, the NRL are just handing out these fines and offering suspensions because they know we won't accept them and it's just a cash grab. But then it kind of went downhill when he changed his mind anyway. So, you know, at first he was standing up for something. Now it's clear it was the wrong decision. And I do agree that although Hopgood has been superb, he's not really a link player. He's not really a ball playing forward between the halves and the backs. And I do think that is missing from the Eels. I agree, up until the 30th minute, it looked like it was Manly's game. But from there, I thought it was a real seesawing contest where, even as you touched on, it looked like Manly scored that try. All right, they've put this one to bed. And then the Eels score in the 77th minute. And you're like, okay, is this one it really in bed? What's going on here? Despite the 30 points, I've got to be honest, I thought the Eels' attack was quite poor. There was a lot of short side plays, not much open side nounce, and it just looked a little bit unpolished out there, if you like. But in the end, really, all it was that lost them the game was the converted tries, as you touched on, the converted kicks. And it's the man that was taking those kicks that probably has to wear a bit of criticism here, Mitchell Moses. With his next contract, he is looking to become one of the highest paid players in the competition. And in this game, you know, it's not that we're here to play a bash or anything of that nature at all, but I just think that he had a few moments he could have stood up. And unfortunately for the Eels in this case, he didn't do it. So they lose another close one. With that being said, I thought they were dead set, robbed a try in the 64th minute. That pass from Clinton Gutherson, the ruling, as far as I understand it, is backwards out of the hands, which the pass did go. Gutherson was traveling backwards at the time, so I can see why it looked like a forward pass. So maybe Eels fans feel a little bit unlucky there. But look, at the end of the day, it's three games now for the Eels. It's three really close losses for the Eels. It doesn't matter. We don't get to the end of the season and go, they just missed the eight, but they were so close in their first three. We only remember the losses, which is what's unfortunate for the Eels. And it doesn't get any easier with the Penrith Panthers this Thursday. So you've got to feel for the Eels. That's a really, really tough opening draw. We moved to Friday night, the 6 p.m. game. It was the Knights and the Dolphins. Dolphins got up 36-20. My MVP was Tessie New in this one. He scored his first career hat trick, and I thought the Hammer was pretty awesome at the back also. He scored in all three Dolphins games. But the Dolphins are your team. They moved to 3-0. I'm sure everyone wants to hear. How did you see this one?
Well, get your fins up if you're stiff for the cliff. Bennett took his team down to Newcastle, and he was thinking with his big head this time. And they went in and got the 2 points. And well done to anyone who backed Dolphins, you know, early. Lots of people got plus money, plus line on the Dolphins. In fact, it didn't matter when you backed them in the end. You could have got the highest and worst possible line. And they ultimately covered it, which means I was wrong because I thought the Knights could be take this down to the wire. And I wouldn't have played the, you know, the -5.5 on Wednesday. But I kind of feel like I was right. If you watch this game, the scoreline does not tell you the story of the match. It was actually really close for the third straight week. The Knights were in front in the second half. And after that breakaway try by Miller, I actually thought the Knights could win that one. I thought they were playing inspired by their home crowd. However, the Finns, as they've found a way to do the last couple of weeks, they had an answer after falling behind. Who else but the Hammer scored again to put them back in front. And ultimately, you know, the Knights can blame themselves as well. Lack of concentration, but letting in a dummy half try from Nikarima. One of Tessie New's three tries was like a drop ball where they didn't really stay alert and stay alive on the play. And Bromwich picked it up and passed it to New, who scored there to extend the lead. And even then, it wasn't actually game over because Calfusi, Finn Diesel puts on a big shot. I can't remember who it was. Was it on Gamble? Laid out a Knights player, late shot. And gets sin binned, and the Knights cut it to 6 and are playing with an extra man, kind of reverse roles that they were in with in the West game a week ago. Yeah, every chance. And in fact, they actually had a bit of momentum, and it was first tackle on like their own 30, and they spilled it. And that led to not one but two more tries to the Dolphins, both by Izarko, including one in the final play. Even though they were a man short, they'd obviously broken the Knights' spirits by then. So big win for the Finns, and now they head up to Brisbane for the Battle of Brisbane next week. And as you said, to have both those sides going to that game undefeated is quite unbelievable.
And the interesting thing about that game is they will be without Jeremy Marshall-King, but reports today indicate Felice Carfusi is going to challenge that charge and try to get it downgraded, which means he would be available and only cop a fine for it. The interesting...
So he's been given three games, I heard.
If he takes an early guilty plea, he'd get three.
Yeah, but he reckons he can beat it and get none.
If he downgrades it to a grade one, he'll get fined. If they say, right, no, we're not downgrading this, then he's gone for four. So it is a considerable risk. The Miller trial, though, I thought it was a real turning point. But then, as you said, the Dolphins fought back into the game. And then I started to think, you know what? This is just their experienced forward pack. They're all making smart decisions. And then it just showed me how much I don't know rugby league because, as you said, Finn Diesel, too fast, too furious, gets sinned in with a huge shot there. And at that point, I thought, oh, my God. Up until this point, that game had pretty much gone how I expected it. Once that happened, I thought, okay, there could be a little something about to happen here. But I go back to the Knights bench. We spoke about it on the preview show, and at that stage, there was two rookies named. Come kickoff, there was three rookies named. And so the only person with experience on that bench was Matt Croker with 19 games. I'm not sure how much experience the Dolphins had on their bench, but I'd wager it is a fair bit more than 19 games. So whilst the Knights did show grit and even led at stages, I just feel in the NRL, you probably can't win a game with that amount of experience coming off the bench. There's just not enough composure in the middle there, not enough experience in the middle. And I'm sure all their debutants will be better for this experience. It's certainly no knock on them, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles with the unfortunate injury and suspension toll that the Knights have at the moment. The Felice Kaufusi sin bid, do you think it was a fair one?
I did in the moment. And maybe it was Hastings and seeing the comments coming through that he hit, because I wasn't even sure if it was for high or late, but it was kind of a mix of both. So that's why I was surprised you said he was fighting it, because I thought that's typical with what's ruled these days in the NRL.
Absolutely. I mean, my hot tip is that he will not get off that suspension with the precedent they've set in recent years. But the blockbuster game of Friday night, the one that had everyone glued to their television screens, was the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. The Roosters end up walking away as winners, winning 22-18. My MVP was Victor Radley with 48 tackles in the middle, but Jared Rea-Hargrave was pretty immense from the bench also. That was an all-time performance from him. I think we both mistipped this one, and unfortunately we did miss out on our better same game multi. Manu came close, but all in all, how'd you see this one winning?
Yeah, and it gets worse as well, because I gave a bonus tip on this game for people that follow me on Dabble. I was like looking at the game. We didn't have any official plays. I felt like the line was probably about right. I just didn't know if all the Roosters key players were necessarily going to play. In the end, they did, but like Brandon Smith came off the bench. I went Rabbitohs for a little bit of extra juicy odds. Rabbitohs first half minus 2.5 at 225. And boy, it looked good first half hour. They were up 10-0 and the Bunnies were on top and the Roosters were under the pump, but it all kind of flipped. Roosters regathered a short dropout. A little late on fifth tackle, they got a six again call. They ultimately scored with Brandon Smith getting his first try for his career for the Tricolours. And then another one, just a minute or two to go in the half, off a kick as well for the Roosters, which levelled the score, although the Bunnies did actually get a penalty and lead by two. And the bonus tip I gave out was Bunnies minus 2.5. So that was a great feeling. And then and Manu going very close. And in the end, Manu's biggest plays of this game was on defence. An absolute miraculous try saver, I thought, kind of chasing back and chopping down on Isaiah Tasman. It looked like he would have scored. And I did think the Roosters had the better of the game from the end of the first half onwards. But it's not to say the Souths didn't have their chances. You know, the Roosters seemed to get control and I think had the had two straight tries in the second half. But the Bunnies just kept coming, kind of like they did against Penrith. And as I say, had some breakaways. The Roosters scrambled. Even then, the Bunnies did finally score late and come within a long-range Latrell two-point field goal attempt of tying it. But that one went wide and the Roosters reclaim Allianz.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I got this tip wrong, but I do remember saying in the preview show, if you like an underdog, don't shy away from the Roosters, because when these two teams play, you can almost throw the form book out the window. And really, that's what happened. You look at where both these sides were at after two rounds. The Bunnies seemed to be travelling a lot better, but the Roosters were, in the end, the much better side. After that first 20, though, the stats that I've got here, the Roosters had already missed 13 tackles, and they had 100 less post-contact meters. That's a whole field of contact meters, post-contact, sorry. And they really were losing the middle battle. But the people I was watching the game with here at home, I said, if I'm Roosters, I'm not freaking out yet, because I know they've still got Smith and Rhea Hargraves to come from the bench. And I feel like that can really tidy up the middle and start to win it for them. In the end, it did. And not only did that have an impact, Rabbitohs also lost Harmé Sele, and then they also lost Shekhar Mitchell. Losing two middles is never optimal, especially when you got Waria Hargreaves running rampant in the middle. And I think you couple that together and you could really feel the momentum shift. Even watching on the television, you could really feel that momentum shift. Certainly, it looked like the Bunnies felt it as well, because discipline, composure, it did go out the window for a fair bit of this game. And I almost feel when that happens, the Bunnies don't have the correct spine players to bring a game back on track. And I feel like that could be a bit too harsh of an insult given how close the end result was. But it seemed like at some stages, Cody Walker was more interested in push and shoves than making the intelligent play. And, you have to look at that game as an opposition player. I think if we can get Cody Walker, Latrell more interested in the niggle than the game, maybe there's an opportunity to upset the Bunnies like the Roosters did in this one. One takeaway I do have was in the 60th minute mark, I thought Joseph Manu stopped in the line. And although Cody Walker completely milked that for all it was worth, the rules do state you can't stop in the line. So maybe Bunnies fans do feel a little bit unlucky there. But we move to Super Saturday and possibly the game of the round. Dare I say it, the game of the round. My Titans, we defeat the Melbourne Storm 38-34. Just a crazy high-scoring game. A lot of errors, but it's very entertaining. AJ Brimson was my MVP. I think you and I were talking offline after we recorded on the Wednesday, and we were saying how good AJ is. And he was just everywhere, despite the 40-degree heat, which I thought was miraculous. I mean, I tipped it. The Titans flex their premiership muscle. I'm hearing our odds have been crunched into $1.01 for the top four. What have you got on that, Winnie?
Your boys, they got up. I thought what was funny, something else we discussed on Wednesday night, was 2017, that result where, coincidentally, the Titans beat the Storm 38-36. How funny. Yeah. We almost got the identical scoreline and we did get the same result. Now, again, 6 years ago, it was a much bigger upset. That Storm side won the competition. They were the best in the NRL by far. And that, what was crazy was their defense was so good 6 years ago. They were conceding like under 10 a game, and then they gave up 38 to the Titans. And that's the point. This Melbourne Storm side of 2023 is a far cry from, Melbourne sides that we're used to. But as for your boys, well, they got the perfect start, Clarkey. We didn't mention, I think, Jackson Paulo getting a double against his old club. They were the two tries for the Roosters that got them in front and second up against the Bunnies. And how about this Khan Pereira? He had a double as well for your team. And he's electric. He's Quicksilver. He scored when he had no right to get the Titans in front. But it was back and forth after that, try for try. Again, not much defence, which is not Melbourne-like. But they did lead four tries to three at halftime. Both sides had errors. And errors continues to be the story of the game for the Melbourne Storm. And that's why you'd love to be a fly on the wall in the Storm locker room, because bellyache, would have had to be filthy once again. And you talk about errors, literally the Storm spilled the ball, maybe attempting to offload on their own 10-metre line, first set of the second half, and handed a try. Who was it that scored that one? I can't recall which Titan.
I know there was two particular moments where that happened.
Yeah, the Titans just picked it up and scored there. And that was actually the second of three straight Titans tries, because the Storm dropped the ball in about a minute to go in the first half that allowed the Titans to score. I think Kelly scoring right at the end of the first half. Then they get this one right at the beginning of the second half and then scored again and had that, lead beyond a converted try. And the Storm could never quite get back on top in this one. And the Titans clung on for dear life and got a well-deserved win in front of their home fans in their home opener this year.
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice touching win. It's the Fa'a Sua Mala'awi brothers. They're the first brothers to ever play together at the Titans. And I thought that was a really nice moment. Khan Pereira, certainly electric. And you can kind of see why the Titans did elect to move Greg Marzu on, knowing we had him in the ranks. Probably the most telling comments all week that you'll hear is Craig Bellamy saying in the post-game press conference, his side looks like they don't care. I really don't think there's a worse insult you could cop as a player when your coach says it doesn't look like you care about the jersey. It would be a tough one. I'll be honest, very proud, but also disappointed we leaked so many points. Every time in the game I'd be up and happy, I'd be down and upset because it was such a back and forth contest. Despite the difficult conditions, I do think the Titans' defense and fitness let them down a little bit. Maybe that's me being biased because you could certainly make that same argument if you're a Melbourne Storm fan. The strangest moment of the round, Kieran Foran sitting 25 minutes out. Justin Holbrook confirmed post-game that was a tactical decision. It was no injury there. I mean, Foran's our most experienced best playmaker. You would not really see the Panthers ever rest Cleary for 25 minutes against the Melbourne Storm, I don't think. As you touched on, the drop balls by the Melbourne Storm, not just drop balls, but drop balls that quite literally directly led to Titans tries. They picked it up and scored. You drop the ball, the first thing you have to be thinking is, I've got to, regather this to cause a stoppage in play. But the Titans were quicker to the ball than them. But it's not so far-fetched to say if the Melbourne Storm have better ball control, they don't lose this game. Because the 63% completion rate they had is the lowest I've ever seen for the Melbourne Storm. I don't think I can think of a game where they've had lower. Ultimately, it's one of those games where both sides aren't fully happy at full time because there's so much that needs to be worked on. But the fact that we're the team walking away with the chocolates, there's a big positive there. And as a Titans fan, you've got to be pretty happy there. But speaking of happy Titans fans, if we've got the clip ready, Winnie, let's go to our show sponsor, Top Sport. You can sign up to Top Sport using our code TPLive. And if you do decide to sign up, please make sure you let the Tripod Facebook page know. But without further ado, let's hear from the CEO of Top Sport, Tristan.
G'day, punters. It's Tristan here from Top Sport. And a fascinating round we've just seen. There was a few upsets, some big upsets. The Warriors obviously beating the Cowboys, which was also our biggest win of the weekend. The Titans getting the result against the Storm, which was a nice one for Top Sport HQ. And then, of course, there were some other results where they hovered around the line. The Manly-Parramatta game was pretty ugly, the way the line sort of shifted. And then also the Broncos-Dragons game, that was easily our worst result of the weekend. Just the way the Broncos were very, very well supported, both in singles and multis. We looked pretty good for a long way there, but the punters came home over the top. So interesting week. The Dolphins kept rolling. It sets up an absolute beauty next week, end against the Broncos, where they're both undefeated. So looking forward to that one. Hopefully back to winner over the weekend. And, of course, gamble responsibly.
So Tristan's happy as well. Thanks for the comments that are coming in. Joe Vuna was the try that the Titans got just in the second half. Comment about Preston's son, Jaden Campbell. And I think that's the key as to why Foran came off, because you mentioned the conditions, Clarky. Look, both teams will say their defense was horrible. I give them a slight pass, not a full pass, but it looked so humid and looked like horrendous heat out there. And obviously players were falling off tackles and they were gassed. And I think Holbrook just thought, I got to get Campbell into this game. So he shifted AJ into the halves and just took Foran off. Foran did have an error or two in him. And Foran's not suited to like an open, kind of run and gun, like track meet style game. And it allowed him to come back on fresh. So maybe that was the decision making. And if you're clutching at straws for positives to the Storm, I've obviously still got a couple of key players to come back. But Jonah Pezzett on debut actually had some nice moments, including scoring the Storm's opening try.
Jonah Pezzett had some nice touches. Joe Vuna, his first game back from an ACL, he gets to score a try. And, I certainly think if there was a game where you could make an exception for having four and off, that was the game, just because of those extreme weather conditions. But that was the case for this next game as well, where the Warriors upset the North Queensland Cowboys at home 26-12. My MVP was Sean Johnson. He looked in vintage form, just all over the park. And shout out to both rookie fullbacks, Tua Picky and Chester. I thought they were electric and right in the game as well. Winnie, I hate to say I told you so, but I did tip this one and I'm really proud of myself. How'd you see this one?
Yeah, I was going to give you credit for that. I also thought the Warriors had a chance up in Townsville, but you outright said you're tipping the Warriors to win. And especially once they were down 6-0 and it was Chester who scored the opening try and debut for the Cows as well. And he did well, but I thought he was outplayed by Tua Picky. He looks like a great talent and maybe someone that the Warriors have got to keep in their side, whether they can bring Chance back in and play centres as he has for the Kiwis before. This guy was a real handful, the young gun. I just was impressed by the fact that the Warriors didn't blink when they were down 6-0, when they were down 12-6. And in fact, 12-6 down after 15 minutes, as you see from the scoreboard, they didn't concede again. They just got in control in this one and they had better finishes to their sets. And Johnson had a hand in steering them around the park and controlling everything that the Warriors did. And from a Cowboys perspective, because you do have to question, like, kind of what's wrong with them? How did they let this happen? You go back to an awesome start the first 35 minutes of their season where they look like they're going to blow away the Raiders. They don't. They nearly lost. And then they lost last week down in Brisbane and they lose this one by double digits when they were a double-digit favourite. And for me, I'm looking at when a team is down and when kind of the tide is against them and the opponent is playing well, not giving them much and completing at a high percentage and defending well, You need a star to break open a game. And I was kind of looking at the Cowboys. This is why I didn't, you know, want to bet on them this weekend. We hopefully steered you guys away from, you know, throwing in Cowboys as a sure thing because we said it wasn't. But, like, who's the star that's going to break the game open for the Cowboys? Like, you're thinking it's going to be Taumalolo. He's always really good. But I watch him play, like, and I don't think he's, like, out-and-out best forward in the comp like he used to be. I'm going, who else is there? You know, Drinkwater, they miss him. You got Chad Townsend, but he's not like a match winner. Like, I know he kicked a winning field goal a couple weeks ago, but not like a guy that makes a play that kind of, like, changes a game. He just takes the game by the scruff of the neck. Dearden can be maybe, but he wasn't on Saturday. Another guy who I think plays well when it's off momentum. You know, Robson is a good hooker again, plays well when the team's playing well. Is Valentine Holmes that superstar? You know, he's out wide. He didn't really get to do much. I was looking at, is someone like Nanai going to break this game open? And ultimately, nobody on the Cowboys did. So it does actually make you question, ultimately, the ceiling of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know what you say there when you say that, yeah, Chad Townsend kicked the field goal, but he's not a game breaker. I took a couple of names while you were talking. Fifita, Suli, To'o, Latrell, Manu, etc. These are players that are going to break the game open. And for the Cowboys, it really only does leave Jeremiah Nanai when you look 1-17 at the moment. And I saw an article on Zero Tackle today where his offensive stats are 50%, less than 50% of what they were last year. So he certainly had a bit of a quiet start to the round. All things considered, I thought the Cowboys had a great start, which we kind of expected they would do at home, being more used to the weather conditions, I suppose. But despite the great start from Cowboys, the Warriors' effort was still there. And that's why, even though I tipped them, I didn't get too nervous. And to the Cowboys' credit, their goal line defense was really good. I mean, the scoreline doesn't really show that, but efficiency percentage-wise, they did defend better than the Warriors. Obviously, the scoreline doesn't show that, but it, you know, if we want to look at it just purely the stats, there is a positive there for the Cowboys. In the end, though, the Warriors had 61% territory, and they were tackled 34 times in the Cowboys' 20. And so eventually, you just have to get through. You can be the Panthers of 2020 and 2021 and 22. If you're getting tackled that many times, that's like six sets of six. You're going to score eventually, right? And the difference was Shawn Johnson. He was lively. He was on the ball. He was off the ball. He was creating opportunities for those around him. And with his running game there, he really attracted defenders, tied them in, made them think, hey, look at me, I might run here. And that opened up the space for those around him and created a lot of the Warriors' opportunities. And a great stat here for the Warriors. This was their first win in Australia since round 8 last year. Thoroughly deserved. I'm stoked to have picked it. But looking back at the odds, do you think if they haven't won since round 8 last year, I think they closed like $3.50. I think they should have been a bit more if they've not won here for almost 365 days.
You know what's crazier? They haven't won in Australia, like you said, for nearly a calendar year. And they were based in Australia until like round 18 last year. So, look, that's the thing. And there was a comment before about Andrew Webster. Like, this is a different team. They look to really have bought in. And you mentioned Johnson was great, but other playmakers too. Wade Egan was really strong. And Dylan Walker off the bench too in his role, whether you're calling him a 5'8 or kind of like a running lock. And another thing that impressed me about the Warriors, which is not typical of recent years, was their patience. I think you said it there. They had a lot of territory. But usually you can hold the Warriors out for a set and then they'll do something silly. They'll give you something cheap or they'll throw it over the sideline. But I felt like they just stayed calm and in control. And they did ultimately wear down the Cowboys and break through for a well-deserved win.
And I think that composure come from Shawn Johnson, not being erratic, not overplaying his hand, but just slotting in perfectly. As you said, he still had the rest of the spine to play. Tomedy Martin had 2 try assists. So it wasn't if he was overplaying his hand. I thought he played his hand perfectly. A team that played their hand perfectly for us in terms of our best bets was the Brisbane Broncos. They defeated the Dragons, and I still can't quite believe this. 40-18, somehow. My MVP was Payne Haas. He did not miss a single tackle this game, and he had around 250 metres in just 59 metres and 2 key line break assists. This was our first best bet for the round, Winnie. It cashed. And your thoughts on this game, please.
It's another one where the score does not tell you the full story of the match because it was 18-all with just 10 minutes to go. And before that, it was 16-6 to the Dragons right before halftime, before the Dragons made an error that actually allowed Adam Reynolds to have a shot for a 2-point field goal and cut the deficit to 8 at halftime. And I never felt the Broncos were out of it. But when you're trailing, and as for our best bet was -11.5, like we need them to win by double digits. That feels further and further away. But mind you, one of the reasons I took the Broncos was knowing the talent they've got, they have the ability to break a game open. And they ultimately did, kind of similarly to the Cowboys game where they're behind and then they just ran a blitz of tries. Well, it was the same thing, but they left it late. In fact, once you're getting inside the final 10 minutes and it was 18-all, I was nearly resigned to us going to lose this best bet because, you know, teams at that point aren't necessarily looking to score tries. They may just be trying to set up for a field goal. And I feel like Reynolds was willing to be aggressive in an attacking set that the Broncos got and spread it wide. And Brisbane did actually have some joy and get in front by 6 points. And that try with about 9 minutes to go was one of four that Brisbane scored in the final 10. To totally blow out the Dragons in the end and make the best bet win look comfortable when it wasn't for the first hour and a bit.
Yeah, interesting about this one is at first I had a note saying it was a game of two halves, but then I thought about it. It was a game of 70 minutes and 10 minutes because it was just really crazy what we saw. Off the top, I do need to apologise. I put out a tip last week for Broncos -5.5, Cobbo anytime in 13 plus. Broncos went into the break down. So unfortunately, that multi didn't cash. Hopefully they had some insurance because it was a 3-plus legger. But yeah, I agree. The scoreline here flatters the Broncos, but I don't want to say that in a negative term because their last 10 minutes was absolutely explosive and it does really put the competition on a notice. We saw a team today really suck off at one stage in the second half. Could you imagine if it was the Broncos against them? They would have scored 500. Early on, though, I must say the Broncos kind of lack composure. It looked like they had an attitude where it's like, okay, we're playing great footy this year. This is just going to happen for us. We've just got to turn up and play. And it was only really when they stripped that back and they began to play more composed off the back of Adam Reynolds' kicking game, who I do believe is one of the best kickers in general play there. Short kicks, long kicks, two-point field goals, you name it. He's got the golden boot. And I feel like his kicking game really calmed the Broncos down, allowed them to regain their composure. And that's what put them in a position to run away. And as I've got here, scored 22 points in the final 10 minutes. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in the Dragons review session because what do you really say? I mean, two of those tries came from Payne Haas, just explosive off the bench, getting that arm free, getting the offload, Reece Walsh following up in the middle. Broncos only missed 18 tackles as well. And I thought that's a pretty good stat. That's the lowest of any team this round. They were under some pressure from the Dragons in the first half. So to miss the least tackles of any team this round was also impressive for the Broncos. They had 57% possession, but I really can't find any stats that can sum up what happened that last 10 minutes. All I can say is I'm really glad it did occur for our best bet and as a footy fan, because that was electric to watch the Broncos explode out of nowhere.
But just in response to that as well, looking at the Dragons, I think, look, you're going to be disappointed to let in all those tries, but it didn't really matter. Like they threw their best punch. You know, they got close. And once the Broncos had kind of scored a couple of tries, they knew they weren't going to win. You know, obviously the energy just was sapped out of them. And then it led to a couple more. What difference does it really make if they lose by 10 or 16 or 22 in the end? But that you mentioned Reynolds' golden boot. The funny thing is the Broncos get in front by 6 and now you're going, all right, we've got, you know, 7 minutes here to get one more try and actually still win this best bet. And the Broncos do get a try, and it wasn't that far out wide, and Reynolds missed the kick. Yeah. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Now they're going to win by 10, and our best bet's minus, I can't remember if it was 10.5 or 11.5, but basically the same difference. We're going to lose on a Reynolds missed conversion. Well, I didn't need to worry because they scored two more converted tries after that. So he wasn't perfect with the boot, but he was pretty damn good. And I think that there was a comment about the Dragons bench as well. Yeah, the Dragons come up and ripped in. But to respond to what you said about Brisbane, I totally agree. They look to be the real deal. If they're all healthy, you know, at the end of the year, I know it's so early, but they look like a team that gives the competition a shake. And we've been on this because we've actually backed Brisbane as a best bet all three rounds successfully. So at least that's been positive for us.
Early prediction for next round. You like them over the Dolphins? Don't want to give too much away. But
no, let's not give anything away. Let's try and draw people in. They got to come back on Wednesday night for our preview of that one.
All righty, guys. We'll see you then. And the Dragons bench, Jacob Liddell in particular, someone that needs a big ramp. Obviously, at the Tigers, it wasn't going to work out with Simpkin and Apsikoros out there. Went to a new club. He's playing some great footy there. This afternoon, the Bulldogs defeated the Tigers 26-22. My MVP was Matt Burton. I thought he created a lot of opportunities, had a great running game today. We had a best bet on this one, Winnie. I still am a little lost for words as to how we lost it. I know we spoke about it briefly at the top of the show, but, I mean, your thoughts on the game overall?
Yeah, it's funny. Two best bets, and it's not often. Like, people might say, oh, how easy is that? You went Broncos, you went Bulldogs, right? Anyone could have said they were going to win. But people who followed the pod for a while know that I don't actually take many big favourites. I usually don't want to be on the obvious sides, but I did think they were both good bets. And tell me what you guys think. Arguably, the Bulldogs bet was a better bet than the Broncos one. We got those late tries with the Broncos one that won it for us, and we suffered from a bunch of late tries totally against the run of play. In fact, how it happened, I'm still kind of lost for words because the Tigers basically doubled this amount of points they've scored this season in a four-minute span when they were down 26-6. And, you know, I'm watching the game and I watch on Foxtel and Blocker Oach is commentating and I could hear it. It sounded like he's hurting having to watch this Tigers team. They were awful for the first 65 minutes of this match. Bulldogs in total control. You know, Bateman came back and had his debut, but I thought he didn't even look right. He had a near moment of brilliance, but I don't know. He didn't look the same John Bateman to me. It made me wonder, like, something has happened since he's flown over here. Don't know. And I won't speculate any further. I don't want to get sued. But, look, it was an open first half. You know, we always say it's really lucky to score a try off an intercept, but both teams, in fact, scored tries off intercepts. The Bulldogs scored another try off a kick return, full length of the field try. Unfortunately, again, you tipped Alamotti to score. Both times he broke away, but he did the right team play and he gave it to the faster man outside him in the Fox. Now, I've got a little story to tell. Second half, you know, they're up. It must have been 20-6. So we were already covering the line, which is 9.5. But I wanted that extra Bulldogs try. I thought that would really crack the Tigers open. And they got it. Burton goes through, the man you gave man of the match. Mind you, I don't know why he wasn't kicking goals today. There was some whispers through the week that he might have had a niggle. But anyway, you couldn't really tell other than not kicking goals. He had a great game and he put up some bombs into orbit today down there at Belmore, which thrilled the crowd. So it's 26-6. Like, we're winning comfortably. At that point, we're in front for the mixed matchup. My Foxtel remote starts playing up. So I had to do this annoying thing where I had to reset it. And I wanted to also share a tip. People ask me, how on earth do you watch so much sport? Because not only do I watch every minute of every NRL game, I'm a big fan of, you know, other sports. I gave a tip just on Wednesday, the MVP of the NBA, and I don't want to early crow, but it was $3.25 when I tipped you guys Wednesday night. He's already into $1.45. I love that sport too. And how I do it, one of the things I do is I don't watch everything live and I use my remote to kind of fast forward the break. So this Dogs Tigers game they were talking about, there was going to be a 20-minute halftime break. So I went off and did something for an hour and missed the whole break, just fast forward through that, fast forward through the break. So anyway, Burton scores. Next thing, my Foxtel's playing up and it just skips ahead to live and it's 26-22. And I'm like, nah, like, how? That's not possible. And then finally I'm able to kind of rewind the thing and watch. And I still couldn't understand what I saw before my eyes. Three tries, 3 minutes, three sets. You know, that is crazy in any game, in any context, but let alone for the double-digit underdog to be doing it out of nowhere when the only try they had prior to that was an intercept try. And you know what? Tigers, you can have your cheap backdoor tries so that you can feel a bit better about yourselves. You could have just scored one less and we would have still covered the line, but you had to somehow come up with 16 points in the blink of an eye. And even then, the Doggies actually got back on the Tigers' line and appeared to have scored right next to the post, and we still could have won, but the bunker denied us too. So, look, I'm hurting. I feel like most of our best bets this year, you felt pretty good about them in the run, and including this one. But it is not, they're just not all going to go your way. I just hope, we can get a couple of teams to score 18 points in a flash when we need them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I look at this and I think with the Bulldogs, so they beat the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne last week better than they beat the Tigers in Belmore. And it just really shows the unpredictability of the NRL and how you just, you can come in with all the stats and the game plans as you want, but sometimes it's just not meant to be. On John Bateman, I have him with the third lowest meters of all Tigers starting players. So I definitely agree at his best, he is a much better player than that. And Paul Alamotti, I thought I thought he played really well. Unlucky not to get the try. He had two key line breaks, where, of course, when you've got the Fox outside you, you're going to pass. Why would you, you know, take that risk? And so, yeah, he was great, but unfortunately, guys, sorry, no luck there either. I think Tigers fans will look at that scoreline, and I think they'll be happy. And I think they will genuinely think, oh, there's some improvement in this team. Mm-hmm. But I hate to burst the bubble, but outside of that 4 minutes, which were just freaky, and really, you can't really apply that consistently in the NRL, as we've seen over the past 100 years. It doesn't happen very often. I thought they were really, really poor again this game. Really poor. So many times getting tackled on the fifth tackle, or just the worst option for the kick there, not finishing their sets on a high, a lot of errors and low completions, a lot of silly missed tackles. As Joey said, I was actually watching this one on Channel 9. He said, they're not getting the fundamentals right, such as passing. I don't know how much more you can expand on that. If you're not passing well, obviously you're not going to play a great game of footy. For the Doggies, outside of that 4 minutes, I guess you're very happy. And it's a weird one for both sides, because I think you kind of look at this game and it's a glass half full or glass half empty sort of scenario. Are you really happy in the Bulldogs that you got the win, or you're really angry at the 4 minutes? And for the Tigers, vice versa, regarding that really, really strange 4 minutes where three tries were scored back to back to back. Final game of the round. This one wrapped up shortly before we went live. The Raiders get their first win of the season. They defeat the Cronulla Sharks 24-20. My MVP was Big Red, Corey Horsburgh. He had the double from the bench. Great effort by him. Another game I don't think we saw coming. I think we both tipped the Sharkies in this one. But what did you think of the Raiders' first win this year?
Well, from a punting perspective, I'll give a shout-out to someone in our group, Siebes, who hit me up this week after our pod and said, you know, Jacob, I thought you'd be on some of these winless teams. That's been a staple of the pod, you know, round three. You know, it's season on the line nearly, because nobody wants to go, you know, 0-3. And so often you want to bet on a team that's lost their first two because they haven't looked impressive, but they're going to give their best effort. And I think there were three candidates this round, and it was Parramatta, West Tigers, and Raiders. And look, if you backed all three of them with the line, you won two out of three. And as we said before, Parramatta is a conversion away. So you probably were on the right track. And my response on Wednesday was, I certainly looked at all those teams, but I just couldn't find enough other kind of supporting reasons to get behind in these sides. You know, I went the other way. I liked the Bulldogs. I thought the Tigers were in disarray. And again, right, I don't want to make an excuse. Like the Dogs weren't good enough. Going back to that game, you let in one try, it's going to happen because the other team's throwing caution to the wind. But that should be a wake-up call. To let in, you know, clean line breaks after that was really feeble. So back to the drawing board a little bit for Seraldo, but plenty to work on. Into this game, the desperation was the difference, I thought, for the Raiders. Even after conceding the opening try, they kind of played a similar game plan to the Dolphins match last week, where they found themselves up 12-0, but they went on with it. The pack was aggressive, you know, getting plenty of ball to Jackie White. And this Timoko, he's such a handful out there, and he scored a decisive try. And Raiders looked like they could win it comfortably. In fact, especially when Royce Hunt was sent to the bin. And again, not to get into the kind of controversies, but I saw nothing in that. Funnily enough, that sin binning seemed to spark the Sharkies into life. They got down the Raiders' end, scored a try, kicked a 40-20. Had a few more trips up the Raiders' end and could have nearly jagged this win, but that's where it comes back down to the home side with Ricky down there on the sideline. Just that will to win, that desperation. They were able to keep turning the Sharks away, and it's such an important one because it's such a different kind of mentality to be 1-2 at this point in the season rather than 0-3.
Certainly the desperation was there for the Raiders. And on Matt Timoko, I kind of feel sorry for Jared Croker because it looks like he's going to fall just short of 300 NRL games because you can't leave Timoko out of this side with how he's playing. For the Sharks, I think they'll look back on this game and see a lot of missed opportunity. And I don't mean as if they were a poor side that didn't complete. They did. They were at 87%. But I just thought some of their decision-making wasn't quite where it should or where it could be for a side that we know how great they are. But I will say a lot of the concerns I share there are completely remediated by the return of Nicho Hynes, which is not so far away. So I don't have any long-term concerns there. And in actual fact, it should really benefit them getting some more games under Braden Trindle's belt, who looks a really, really great player as well. For the Raiders, I think we both tipped the Sharks on the preview pod, but we did say, and we certainly acknowledged the extent of the Raiders' desperation. And I thought the Sharks would win this by 1 point, to sort of sum up how close I thought this one would be. they made some big errors down the home stretch. A few silly knock-ons, Jack White and kicking out on the full, stuff like that. But they were able to defend them. And you look at the stats here, they had more errors and they had more missed tackles than the Sharks. But they had that grit and determination and that desperation to win. Ricky Stewart loves that. He was on the sideline riding his side home. And in the end, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Winnie. It was really the Raiders were a little bit more desperate and they wanted it a little bit more badly for their first home game of 2023. All things considered, though, really, it was just the goal kicking. Sharks missed two and Raiders kicked all theirs.
It was well, one of them was missed by Talakai because Trindle had a niggle and they let Talakai kick it. It wasn't a tough kick. Yeah, and then... Geez, I always worried when they're so big and strong, like where they can control it. He blasted it 5 meters wide. And hey, the Sharks would have been within two late if Trindle had taken that kick. And then it opens up different opportunities, like even a 2-point conversion. So you're right there about kicking. I just didn't want to forget as well, Clarky, we can give away our first jersey of the year right now because last week you put a post up on Facebook. You asked people to comment their team. And someone's going to win a jersey. Now, what I did was I scrolled really fast through the comments. You know, we do keep it all completely fair. I took a screenshot. There were three names in the screenshot of people commenting. And what I've decided, I'm going to read those names right now. And if any of them are watching live and they comment first, they'll win the jersey. The three names are Ra Gray, Chris Walters, Matt Cameron. So if you are any of those three guys or you know them, if they comment while we're live, whoever comments first is going to take home that jersey. Ra actually is a Sharks fan. Chris is Broncos. And Matt Cameron said, unfortunately, he's a Tigers fan. So let's see if any of those guys are among the 100 or so people that are watching us live right now. We do appreciate you guys. And that's your reward because you can claim your prize. I've also got a couple of shout-outs, Clarky, for the round before we get out of here. If you guys do follow on Dabble, BJ Willie, 1,003, hit a 90-1 anytime try scorer multi. And that's just a week after at NRL Stats Man. I meant to give him a shout out 7 days ago. He hit 150-1 milestone try scorer multi in round two. So if you do follow the pod on Dabble, those guys are guys you automatically follow with the tripod code. So give a little shout out to the work those guys are doing. They're finding some magnificent payouts really early in the season, which, you know, gives you a nice buffer and some extra money to play with throughout the year.
Great stuff. I'm just looking in the comments now. I can't see any of the three names that have popped up just yet.
We'll see if any of them comment on the thread during the, as soon as they do see this. Or if not, if it goes unclaimed, we'll find someone else who we can give it to.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. And plenty more to give away through the year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got plenty more. That'll be on the Tripod Facebook page and also the Clarkies Rugby League Instagram and Facebook page. That wraps up our recap of round three, guys. Of course, thank you very much for being here for our recap. And of course, we'll be back 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time this Wednesday to preview round four. Blockbuster games this round. Dolphins, Broncos for the first ever time. And all sorts of amazing games we can't wait to dig into, guys. Thank you very much for being here. And, we'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Have a good week, guys, and Lego.